Let's just pray that can pass quickly, because singing is not nearly as fun when all I can hear is you, is myself. So it's pretty rough. So anyways, so if you can't be praying for my ears. And also one more request, and then I'm going to have Malcolm come up and take prayer requests, specifically because I can't hear what you would say. Okay, so he's going to come up and take the prayer request. I have a sheet up here if you want, brother. And if you can just write him down so that way we can have him for next time. But as he comes up, I got a pen up here too, buddy. Let's be praying for Catherine Wilhelm. This is the Wilhelm's daughter-in-law. She is sick. They were just exposed to COVID. Let's be praying that it's not bad. So let's be praying for her, add her to the list as well as all the other requests. Brother Malcolm, if you can come and update.
Let's be praying for preachers here. Now you can talk about him, won't know.
Yes, thankfully I'm on this side. So.
Yeah, I hope you hear some of
them. Okay, good.
How about, let's see. Let's remember, keep praying for B. Anybody have an update with B? Okay. Robbie, what about Billy Stroop?
Doing okay. We hadn't talked to him this week, but the other day, I mean, he's thinking it's more EMS related issues. So he was waiting on a test to come back, and we still haven't heard. So.
Okay. And Dave, is there anything different with Danny with his shoulder pains?
No, he's still suffering through it.
Still suffering. And for your side of family, how are things going?
My mom had her nuclear test today. Yesterday, but she still had. She's home and a little bit sore and doing all right, but they haven't given her any results of what they're going to do with anything yet. Darlene, she didn't have carpal tunnel. She had trigger finger.
Trigger finger.
Yeah. So I took all the guns out of the
house. All right. Tread carefully. She might listen.
Yeah, they give her some cortisone shots in both hands and told her about 3 or 4 days that she would clear up unless she's diabetic. If she's diabetic, it might skip with her a while. So, but she's not diabetic and seems to be working, so that part's good. But her mom's about the same. Everything else is good as well as can be.
Okay. That's good. Do you know anything about John's friend, Nathan? How he's doing?
No, I haven't talked to John about him yet.
Okay. And continue remembering Rachel and Josh for their prayer needs. And let's see. Judith, I think Judith's supposed to have surgery next Tuesday. Other than the surgery, do you know how well she's doing?
She's doing fine.
Okay, doing fine.
Just to be clear, Brother Neil, is that this coming Tuesday or the one after that?
14th
it is.
Okay.
So that's kind of different than what I asked
him. Okay.
Is that the surgery for the cancer or the gallbladder?
It's for the cancer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cancer.
Yeah, cancer became the priority.
Okay. And Lewis, you know you're on the prayer sheet? You know what you're on prayer sheet for? Anything change there? No. I had to remind you. All right, let's see. Nancy Pruitt. And Robbie, your knee and shoulder pains?
Yeah, my shoulder's gotten better. My knee is really bad. I'm having some point of worry. I'm getting halfway up the stairs and I can't go any further, so yeah. It's hard sleeping on the steps.
Well, at least it's not the couch.
You know, it'd be better. Yeah, the climb of the stairs is real bad. Am I not sure?
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Lewis did take Remy off? All right. Well, the pen died, so. All right. Ronald, how is Madge doing?
She's
Okay, that's good. And those of you who know Ronnie Jones, I think he's in line to be tested for the aorta surgery, so remember him in prayer. And Amy, is any update for Sarah? How things are going?
Not good.
And the son in Florida is still okay? So still hasn't heard about from the friend? And that's the phone number, the only contact she had with him.
What was that person? Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Her.
Another friend of Sarah that she met in treatment from Durham that was dying.
Right.
And she lost contact with her Saturday, I think was the last time she heard from her. And it just rattled Sarah, but it still doesn't seem to move the needle. And Sarah, you're as sick as she is.
Yeah, right.
But she's written to, she did have her address, and she wrote a letter to the family, saying, you know, please, you know, please let me know.
Is she local?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. All right. So we'll keep remembering Sarah's friend. Let's see. And Steve, you want to update on your prayer request? Greg's family situation?
Nah, still be praying.
Keep praying.
Mm-hmm.
Keep praying.
Thanks.
And Tammy, any new updates on yours?
With Matt, just keep playing. He's doing Matt Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually showing some progress in some of the areas. So right now they're just kind of let everything settle down for a little bit.
So he's showing some progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with Eric, same thing. His speech from the stroke is starting to come back a little at a time. So just keep praying.
Okay. All right. And Waylon, anything new for yours?
Tommy, last week I said Sunday he had to go back to the hospital.
Yeah.
They got everything under control and he's back home. Doctor started down just a bump in the road. And
so he should be looking at.
He's better now, so let's but continue recovery.
Continue recovery for Tommy. But he is home and things are looking up. Okay. Yeah, all right. And continue to remember Wendy Roberts. And I understand Ms. Goss is moving to rehab now. Has anybody got anything different from that?
No.
She's going to rehab. All right.
They want to get her into Universal, but I haven't heard. No pun intended. I haven't heard whether that actually.
Want to get where?
What's that?
What'd you say?
They wanted to get her into Universal, the Universal Healthcare, which is the one with the rehab that she went to before.
Mm-hmm. All right. I continue to pray for Ms. Goss. Is there anything that we've missed? Yes.
I have a friend of mine who is very dear to me and I love her so much, but she might have a brain tumor or either an aneurysm. So she's going to do on Friday morning to have an angiogram CT to see what it is. If it's something really bad, they might have to take her straight to the OR and do brain surgery. She's my age and she's just the sweetest woman I lived next door to her for 20 years.
Okay, so pray for your friend.
What's her
Ruby.
Name?
Ruby Jacobson.
Ruby Jacobson?
Jacobson.
All right. Okay. Anybody else have anything?
You can be praying for Jacqueline. She's about Joshua's age, 12, 15. Sean has been breaking and Sean kind of sat in the back. Sean has some kind of health issue where basically the body constantly creates tumors, some of them cancerous, some of them non-cancerous. Well, Jacqueline apparently has a large cyst on what is it, Dave? About two-thirds of the brain or a third of the brain. It's huge. It's very large.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's actually pushing against his brain. He's only like 12. It's pushing against his brain. It's causing him to have regular seizures and all different kinds of things. So they just posted the other day, they're going to go in and surgically transrain the cyst, but it's obviously very involved because it's literally on its way. So let's just be praying for Declan. Like I said, he's 12, he's not that old. And Sean's been going through a lot with his stuff. He has multiple cancer right now. And now with Declan with this too, it's a lot. So let's just remember Declan.
Somebody had their hand up? Ronald? So continue to pray for Ronald's arm. That he'll get better so he can get his wallet out. Speaking of getting wallet out, Connor, if you'll come join me. And who is the offering?
Okay. Yeah. The offering tonight, the Wilhelms have been with us, and of course we had them preach the other day, but this is kind of a slower time for them to get meetings, so we want to be a blessing to them. Of course, they've been kind of hanging out near us, so we want to be a blessing to them as they're going to Romania. So let's be remembering them and praying for some of the needs associated with this list. I certainly did not remember all of them, and Malcolm, your notes are very sparse here, brother.
Try your pen. It don't write no more.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, perfect. All right, so apparently I didn't hear that part. All right, so anyways, let's give this offering to petition for the Wilhelms, and we're thankful for them being with us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We're so thankful for your love and grace. Lord, thank you that you care about every one of our needs and every one of our burdens and the things that we face on our day on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that you just be with all these requests that are mentioned, and Lord, work through those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that have different health and other ailments. And Lord, just give special grace and strength in each one of these. Lord, be with those that have not received you, Lord, that are not your children. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the witnesses that we need to be, to share the salt and light of your word to a world that needs it. And Lord, just strengthen us in these things. Lord, I pray that you be with all the requests that are mentioned. I know Malcolm wrote a good number of them down. Lord, I pray that you just meet through those and work through each one of these. Some of them I could hear, some of them I couldn't really. But Lord, you know what they are. And so, Lord, I pray that you just work your mighty way through all these. Youth Wilhelms as well, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to provide for them and meet their needs, Lord, as they prepare to go back to Romania. Be with some of the needs over there in Romania. Lord, I think of this one co-laborer over there that's been struggling with some breathing issues. And I think of their daughter-in-law that is struggling with some health issues and sickness. Lord, I pray that you just continue to strengthen them and help them as they serve you faithfully over there. Lord, be with our service today and tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just use your word as presented. Help us to have open hearts. And Lord, help us to be willing to change whatever needs to change. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Genesis, Genesis chapter number 15. Really, we're going to be kind of going through a little bit from chapter 12 and on. But chapter 15 is really where we're going to be hanging out as we continue talking about Abraham. And so Genesis chapter number 15, we are continuing this study of the third study now on the life of Abraham. And hopefully this has been helpful as we look at some of these Bible characters through these little mini studies. Okay. If you remember from last time, we're kind of skipping over a chapter in Genesis 14, just because I don't want to spend every single chapter, okay? We're kind of doing summary. But Genesis 14, if I can summarize real quickly, Lot, of course, had gone the wrong way, as we talked about last week, and was pitching his tent towards Sodom. Then chapter number 14, you find that Lot is actually living in Sodom, and some other nations actually come and attack Sodom, and take Lot and his family captive, as well as other inhabitants there of Sodom. And so what Abraham does is he plans a midnight raid, so to speak, with some of his servants, and rescue Lot. And so they rescue Lot, they bring Lot back. Thankfully, no one actually has any casualties on Abraham's side. It goes really well. Literally, just a few hundred people take over literally several nations in terms of their raiding party, and it's very successful. And in chapter number 15, here's where we jump in. Genesis chapter number 15 and verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He just received all the bounty from capturing these people. He gave it all back to the people of Sodom because he doesn't want to take part in their wicked deeds. So he gives all that back. And then God comes to him and God says, hey, Abram, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. It seems like things are really going pretty well for Abraham, right? I mean, it would seem like things are really going smoothly. But look at verse number 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Here's what we're going to look at here tonight that I hope will be helpful as we examine it. A friend of God sometimes doubts. And I'm not saying that we should doubt. I'm not saying that it's okay to doubt. Okay? But here in Abram's life, he certainly is doubting God. And he's doubting God's plan in his life. He just had a great success, a great victory over these different nations. But now Abram's kind of doubting. It's been some time before God since God had promised him that he would make of him a great nation. And so Abram is kind of doubting. So tonight what we're going to do is examine how to respond when the doubts come. Let's ask the Lord's blessing and then we'll jump right in. Hear me, Father, Lord. Lord, work through your word as we present it. As I present it, Lord, I pray that you'd have us have open hearts and willing ears. Lord, I pray that you would just be with everything. Lord, be with me. I know that the hearing thing is kind of distracting a bit. Lord, I pray that you'd just help me, Lord, as I present your word and help everything go real smoothly, Lord, through it. And Lord, help us to be stirred and challenged by the life of Abraham and what Abraham goes through in this chapter. So, Lord, work in a mighty way. Well, thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Number one, of course, our verse that we've been looking at, James 2.23. Let's read it together, okay? James 2.23, here's what it says. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. First off, let's look at God's promises, though, from this passage. And first off, I see very clearly from this passage a repetition that's been going on in Abraham's life. If you can, take your finger, flip back to Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. This was the first time that God promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now bless them that bless thee, curse them that curses thee, and indeed shall all families of the earth be blessed. First off, there's a blessing promise. Then, if you can, skip over to chapter 13, verse number 14. Chapter 13, verse number 14. We kind of ended here last time. But 13, 14, here's what it says. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and lift and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward and westward. By the way, there's significance in that because what did Abraham tell Lot? Abraham said, look to the right, look to the left, right? What's God saying? God's saying, look right, look left, look front, look back. Everywhere you look, it's going to be yours. Okay? Let's continue. Okay? Northward, southward, eastward, and westward, from all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that a man cannot number the dust of the earth, that then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. So you have, first off, the blessing promise. Number two, you have the land promise. Number three, you have in this passage, chapter 15, verse number 1, you have the reward promise. That is, that God is going to take care of him. He's going to reward him, and he's going to protect him. In verse number 1, it says this, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And so God has numerous times repeated the promise. But here Abram is, even though he's a wealthy man, even though he's been blessed, even though he's just been successful, and despite all of that, Abram has a problem with receiving that promise. Now, let's apply it to us, can't we? How many times, probably millions, hundreds, thousands, Have you heard about the promises of God in your life? A lot, right? You've heard about God's promises. You've heard about what God promised to do. You've heard about what God will do. But how many of you, just be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us, sometimes we doubt that despite the fact that we've heard it a lot? Sometimes we doubt that God's really going to work it out. Sometimes we doubt that all things work together for good to those who love God. Sometimes we doubt that God can and will work in some of the prayer requests that we just mentioned. Sometimes we can doubt things. See, it's not a problem that we don't know what God said, but we sometimes do have a problem with receiving what God said. The reception of the promises, look at verse number 2 and 3. You get some detail about this. First off, you see God's delay in it. Look at verse number 2. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Here's basically what Abram's saying, if I can paraphrase a little bit. Abram's saying, "Hey, God, what can you give me besides what I already have? The one thing that you promised that you haven't given." Right? Abram has money. Yes? Abram's been prosperous. Abram has stuff. Abram has all these things. But the one thing that really mattered to Abram is the one thing that Abram didn't have. And that's a son. The one thing that he really wanted was the one thing that God hadn't given him. And so there's this delay, and Abram's like, "Hey God, why are you waiting so long?" Here, Abram at this point is roughly 86 years old, something like that, most people believe, somewhere around that. So Abram's getting pretty old here, okay? But despite all that, God still hasn't done what he said. And so at this point, Abram's like, "Okay, I'm getting older. I mean, yeah, great, God, you've given me all these things, but who's it going to go to? It's going to go to the servant. It's not going to go to my seed." There's a problem here. Number one, God's delay. Number two, I see in this passage, Abram's doubt. In verse number 2, he says, "Seeing I go childless." He's doubting God's provision as he has before. And by the way, can I say that it's something that he struggles multiple times with, doubting God's provision. And certainly Abram's doing that. He's going and he's saying, "God, are you going to really provide for me for this child? Are you going to give me what you promised?" Verse number 3, he continues on the thought. "Then Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." He's saying, "Hey, God, yeah, you give me this and you give me that, but the one thing that I really want is the one thing that I don't have." I didn't spend a lot of time talking about it originally, but Abram's name even actually kind of summarizes some of this idea. Abram. Does anyone know what the name Abram means? Anybody? What?
Friend of God.
Okay. Good. Thank you for saying it nice and loud. It doesn't mean friend of God. No. Anybody? It means exalted father. Now, you can catch the irony here. Yes? That the guy named Exalted Father, by the way, back in Hebrew, names were different, okay? So, for example, my full name is Jonathan, okay? In Hebrew, that means Gift of Jehovah, okay? Now, we think of, okay, a name just as something like that. Really, a name was a phrase in Hebrew. Does that make sense? So whenever someone talked to Abram, they were actually saying, "Hey, Exalted Father, will you grab me, a soda," or whatever it is. Right? They were actually using that name. So you can imagine how constant this was. Abram, at, let's just say, 85, has been constantly hearing these things, and yet he hasn't been blessed. He hasn't been given this child that he so desperately wants. So here Abram is, and he goes to God, and he says, "God, you haven't provided for me like you said you would. God, you haven't taken care of me like you said. You promised, God, and you haven't done it." Number one, God's provision. He doubted God's provision. Number two, he doubted God's plan. Look at the end of verse number 3. Let's think about it. Verse number 3. "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo," he said, "hey, look at this, God. Here's an idea I had. Lo, one born in my house is my heir." So here's basically what he's saying. Back in Bible times, if someone was born into the house of someone else, okay, a servant, that is, that had another servant, you could make that servant your heir. And so he's saying, hey God, here, I have an idea. This Eliezer guy, okay, yes, his family's from Damascus and all that stuff, but maybe we could send him up as heir. How about that, God? That kind of fulfills the plan, right? We're going to have a great nation and it can come for him. Because obviously you're not going to do it the way you said you would. So Abram's kind of doubting God's plan here. You all with me, folks? Just because I can't hear, kind of nod your head, okay? Okay. Abram's doubting God's plan. He's doubting that God is going to actually take care of him and meet these needs. And so he's trying to think of other ways where it can happen. If you skip ahead a little bit to chapter number 16, they go a little bit further than this, right? So God says, no, he's going to come from your family, from your loins. So what does Abraham and Sarah do? They say, okay, well, I'll take this servant from the house and we'll do that. What's he doing? He's doubting God's plan and the way God is going to do it. God said, hey, I'll make of you a great nation. Not I'll make of your servants a great nation. I'll make of you a great nation. But he's trying to do God's plan his way. How many times do we do that, folks? Let's be honest. Do we not? We sometimes set things up so God's plan goes our way. Can I tell you, folks, if we try and make God's plan our plan, it ain't going to work. God's plan is better than our plan, yeah? God's ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are better than our thoughts, the book of Proverbs says. We can and should trust God's plan, not our plan. And every time you see Abram trusting his plan, it ends up disastrous. Can I just remind you real quick of what happened in Egypt? When he trusted his plan rather than God's plan, what happened? It was a big mess, right? So here, Abram is considering, doubting some of God's promises. So Abram basically says, okay, God, here's a plan. I got an idea here. Why don't we do it this way? Let's continue on. Verse number 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him abroad and said, look down toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him righteousness. Now we're going to spend the whole time next time talking about that idea. But let's continue on if we can. Let's jump over. Verse number 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I what, folks? Know that I shall inherit. What's Abraham saying? Abraham's saying, hey, God, I know you promised it. I know you said all these things, but how do I know? How do I know you're really going to do it? How can I be sure that you're really going to fulfill your promise here? Now, we can easily jump on Abraham and say, oh man, he should have trusted God. He should have just believed. He should have just known that God was going to take care of him. But can I say, frankly, in our lives sometimes, when we pray for something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, yes? When we wait for something that we know God can do and God can work, but yet it hasn't happened. How many of you have been that way? And how many of you sometimes you start to doubt as that time frame goes on? Number one, God's promises. Number two, I see God's pictures. So God gives a few pictures to Abraham that help him believe. The first picture you see in this passage is the picture of the stars. In verse 4 and 5, really 4, 5, and 6, it talks about this. God goes and God takes him, and God gives a clarification, of course, as we looked at in verse number 4, but he gives this picture of how countless his children will be. Look at it, verse number 5. And he brought him forth ahead and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. Nice and simply, God gives a picture to Abraham. God shows Abraham his power, because why else would he say the stars? He shows Abraham his power, and he says, hey, Abraham, if I'm powerful enough to do all that, then I'm powerful enough to take care of your issue. And by the way, can I say, when we're facing issues, when we're struggling, when we don't know where God is or what God's doing, it's very important for us to look at God's power and see what he's doing, right? And see that he can work, and then we can trust him. Number one, he points to the star. But number two, He points to this covenant. Now, we got to go into a little bit of history here to understand what the what a word covenant means. Okay? You've probably heard of a covenant. Maybe you've heard of marriage as a covenant or different things are a covenant. What is a covenant?
Something promised.
What is it?
Something promised.
Yeah, a promise. Sure. That's true. Now, based on that, what does the word covenant mean? Anybody know what the word covenant means? You think it means promise, right?
Not
testament, not contract. The word covenant, the word actually means to cut. Cut. Say, well, what on earth? Why would you do that? Here's what would happen in Bible times. When someone was making covenant, they would take several animals. You see it pictured here in just a second. They would take several animals and they would cut these animals in half. They would put them in a path, okay, and they would both walk through these different animals that were chopped in half and make their promise to each other. It was almost this phraseology where they were basically saying, hey, if I don't break, or if I break my promise, then you can do to me what you did to these animals. Okay? It's not just a promise. It is the utmost, highest type of promise. Am I making sense? It's a promise that, hey, I can and do deserve death if I don't keep this promise. Y'all with me, folks? So God comes to Abram, and God says, Abram, I'm going to give you a covenant, okay? And so God tells Abram, in verses 7 and following, God tells Abram, Abram, I want you to get these different animals. I want you to chop them up, cut them in half, put them on either side of this little path, and then, you know, then we'll go from there. Look at it, verse number 7. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the earth. Let's jump to verse number 9. We already read that. Verse 9. And he said unto him, take an heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided some. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. So picture, okay? You have this really bloody scene, okay? You have these different animals, and Abram's kind of going and making sure the animals aren't, or the, you know, the vultures and things aren't coming down and eating him. So he's trying to stir all these things away because he's convinced that he and God are going to make a promise, right? Now, look at the next verse again. Next verse. Verse number 10. Or, I'm sorry, verse number 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Let's skip down if we can to verse number 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. From the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, Kenites, Kenizzites, Cananites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. What's happening here? You say, preacher, what on earth is going on? Here's what's going on. Abram goes and he takes the picture of the covenant. Picture of the covenant is you take these two animals, you chop them on either side, and remember, what you would normally do is you'd walk through, both of you together, and you would say the covenant, you'd say the promise together, and it was this unspoken rule that, hey, I'm making a promise. But God puts Abram in a deep sleep, right, and makes it so Abram can't walk through. Why? Why? Here's why. Don't miss it. Because the promise was not about Abram. It's about God. See, God's promise to Abram was not based on Abram. Yes? Mm-hmm. Wasn't based on Abram's ability because he had none. Right? He couldn't have children. Right? It wasn't based on Abram trying to think it out, trying to sort it out, trying to make things work. No. God said, Abram, you are going to be stuck here. I'm going to go through. I'm making the promise to you. You're not making it to me. I'm making it to you. And by the way, can I just say, folks, there are lots of promises that are conditional, if you want to say it, in God's word. But there are a lot of them that are unconditional. Yes? Amen. Our salvation, once you're saved, it is unconditional. That make sense? You are a child of God and it is unconditional. Stop doubting on that. All things work together for good to those that love God. Hey, if you love God, then things are going to work together okay. Stop doubting on them. Does that make sense? God is the one that made the promise. You don't make the promise. God made the promise. So number one, I see the picture of the covenant here. Number two, I see the promise of the covenant. The promise, nice and simply, is God is saying, hey, I am going to take care of this, Abram. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Don't fear about it. Don't try and manipulate about it. Just trust me. Can I tell you, church? Sometimes in our lives, we need to settle on God's promise. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about us trying to make sure that we can work it out. Let's just trust the Lord. The promise of the covenant. Number three, I've seen this passage. The performance of the covenant. Performance of the covenant is all about God. God's the one that will do it. It's not by us. It's by Him. He goes and He gives details about Abram's seed, which just we'll skip over for tonight. But can I just summarize? In God's economy, oftentimes, most of the time, it's about God, it's not about us. But in our mindsets, it's often about us and not about God. Would you not agree with that? If you're not careful, you will fall into the trap of trying to make it about you. Right? Oh, well, I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I need to do the other thing. And if I do these things, then God will work there. No, friend. God is the one that's going to work, regardless of us. God is the one that's in control, regardless of us. You all with me, folks? It's time for us to stop just trusting ourselves and to start trusting the Lord. Because at this point, Abram is frustrated because, frankly, his faith is in himself, not in Christ. And as you'll see in just the next chapter, as a matter of fact, let's skip ahead if we can. Chapter number 16 and verse number 1. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened the voice of Sarah. And so on and so forth. We'll talk about that more next time. But can I summarize? God's telling Abram, hey, Abram, stop trusting yourself. Start trusting me. What does Abram do immediately after that? What does he do? He trusts himself. He trusts his wife. Folks, can I summarize it this way? Okay, we're going to give plenty of time for prayer, so can I summarize? Here's what God's Word says. Okay, the example from this passage. Number one, sometimes we will go through phases of doubt. Right? Sometimes we go through times where we're like, God, what are you doing? God, this doesn't make sense. God, I don't understand. One, go to Him when those times occur. Go to the Lord. He knows what you're thinking already. Go to Him. Talk to Him. That's number one. Number two, when those times come, make a conscientious effort to not trust you, but to trust Him. Don't try and put God into your box. This is how God's going to work. Can I tell you, folks? Over the years that I've been saved, I have found more times than I care to admit. Okay? 33 years I've been saved, something like that. No, not 25. I don't even remember. My 70s. In the years that I've been saved, can I tell you folks? More times than I care to admit, I've gone and I put God into my box and He does something totally outside of my box.
Amen.
Right? Oh, God's going to do it this way. No, He's not. He has a better plan than that. Trust. And the things that He left unconditional, leave it up to Him. It's all on Him. Put it on Him. Don't take it on you. It's not on you. It never could be on you. It never was meant to be on you. It's all on Him. Okay? That's my encouragement. That's my challenge for you from this passage in the life of Abraham. Let's close in prayer if we can, and then we'll break up into groups and pray. And then after that, it's finished. Thank you, my Father, Lord. We love you. We're so thankful for the life of Abraham. We're thankful that we can examine it and study it here tonight. Lord, I pray that this has been helpful and practical. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, in the doubts and fears and the concerns and the worries of our lives, Lord, help us to step aside and to realize that you're the one on the throne. You're the one in control. Lord, help us to trust you. In spite of what we think, in spite of how we would do it, Lord, I pray that we realize that you have a better plan, better purpose. And Lord, work in us through that. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've been doing all these things. Lord, be with us as we break up into groups and pray for our prayer requests here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd work in each one of these situations. Be with those that are hurting, those that are grieving. Lord, I pray that you'd come to them and help them in a special way. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. All right, let's break up into groups and pray for the prayer request. Thank you.